Case number three, and that is appeal 023786, Richardson versus the United States of America versus Richardson.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Thank you.
May it please the court and Ms. Johnson, my name is Ellen Avery and I represent the petitioner, Thomas Richardson. Mr. Richardson requests that this court reverse the district court's dismissal of his motion to vacate, correct, or set aside a sentence pursuant to 28 U.S.C. 2255. In his initial habeas petition, Mr. Richardson alleged numerous ways in which his counsel ineffectively assisted him throughout the proceedings below. In specifically for purposes of this appeal, Mr. Richardson alleged that his counsel ineffectively assisted him when it failed to investigate both the factual basis for the charges against Mr. Richardson and the government's evidence that it intended to present against Mr. Richardson at trial. In so dismissing, the district court erred in at least two ways. First, the district court found that in light of Massaro versus the United States, the district court determined improperly that Mr. Richardson procedurally defaulted his claims for ineffective assistance of counsel for failing to raise them on direct appeal.
Now, what you suggest in your brief that Mr. Richardson's counsel below should have looked into the possibility that the pictures in his possession were not pictures of actual children.
That is correct.
What evidence is there in the record suggesting that these pictures were virtual rather than actual children?
Presumably, Your Honor, Mr. Richardson had a discussion with his attorney since he raises it on appeal here. He raised it in his initial habeas petition. Although, as I stand here today, I cannot point to the specific parts of the record that would show that there was any discussion by Mr. Richardson that this was not, these pictures were not of actual human children. Again, presumably there was some discussion between Mr. Richardson and his attorneys at that time.
But the problem is, if there is no such evidence, then where would the proof of prejudice that Mr. Richardson needs to succeed on an ineffectiveness claim be?
Your Honor, the prejudice, we believe, would be that Mr. Richardson would need to show, under the Strickland v. Washington standard, that he was prejudiced as a result of his trial counsel's failure to investigate. In a failure to investigate claim, Mr. Richardson would need to show that but for his trial counsel's failure to investigate, he would not have pled guilty and would have proceeded to trial. And again, under the Hill decision, Your Honor, Mr. Richardson would have to show that his counsel's failure to investigate here in this specific instance, his counsel's failure to look into whether these images were of human beings versus virtual children, he would have to show that he does maintain that the counsel that he had at trial would have made a different recommendation as to his guilty plea.
But when the alleged deficiency is a failure to investigate, a movement has to provide a court with sufficiently precise information, in other words, a comprehensive showing as to what the investigation would have produced, and we just don't have that here.
That is very true, Your Honor, and that's why we maintain that Mr. Richardson has been severely prejudiced by his trial counsel's failure to investigate. Right now, as I stand here before you, Your Honor, I don't know where these pictures are. That would be the evidence that Mr. Richardson would have to show that he was improperly and ineffectively assisted by his counsel in violation of their duty. As far as I know, Your Honor, these images were subject to a forfeiture order and were to be disposed by the United States Marshals Service in accordance with law. Therefore, in the larger picture, we believe that Mr. Richardson has been severely prejudiced as a result of his trial counsel's failure to investigate whether these charged images were of human beings versus virtual children. We also raise that Mr. Richardson was prejudiced because of his trial counsel's failure to investigate certain other evidence that the government intended to use against Mr. Richardson at trial. Mr. Richardson's trial counsel failed to investigate the chain of custody of evidence against Mr. Richardson. For example, Mr. Richardson's trial counsel failed to look into the chain of custody of a zip drive that in certain property and custody reports of the police department shows up. Mr. Richardson allegedly had 6 to 7 zip drives.
He was charged with one count of receipt of child pornography and one count of possession of child pornography. Even though the government had evidence that he had unloaded, or rather downloaded, and possessed over 70,000 images of children, the government's experts examined 1,300 and found that 688 of those images depicted children engaging in sexually explicit conduct. Any one of those 688 would have satisfied the factual basis for the government's case.
That is correct, Your Honor. Mr. Richardson maintains that he had been severely prejudiced by his trial counsel's failure to investigate, both on the initial charge that the pictures were of human beings, also on the fact that this one zip drive was out of the chain of custody of evidence, with no explanation given whatsoever as to where the zip drive or why the zip drive was located, the Park Ridge Fire Department versus the Park Ridge Police Department, and on another basis, the final basis being that according to the government's report and the testimony given, the government official or officials of the Park Ridge Police Department went to Mr. Richardson's home. Allegedly, Mr. Richardson let these police officers into his home and turned on his computer and downloaded uploaded or showed the officers 3 images and printed out 2 of those images. Those images appear nowhere in property and custody reports, although other items seized from Mr. Richardson's home at that time do appear in property and custody reports of the Park Ridge Police Department. Based on all of these failures to investigate, Mr. Richardson maintains that he was prejudiced. Mr. Richardson's other argument that the district court erred in dismissing his petition is that the district court found him improperly defaulted. And we request that this court consider applying Massaro retroactively to Mr. Richardson's case and vacate or reverse the decision of the district court. I see them into my rebuttal time. If there's any other questions,
no.
You have to answer them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Avery, thanks. Okay. Good morning, Ms. Johnson.
Good morning, Your Honor. Ms. Avery. May it please the court. Your Honors, as we stated in our brief, Massaro is applicable here, and the court found that the defendant was procedurally defaulted. But in finding that, and after finding that, the court did apply the Strickland test and determined that based on the prejudice prong, that the defendant did not show any prejudice, and therefore did not meet the Strickland test, and his ineffective assistance of counsel claim should have been denied. We further argued in our brief before the court, as before the district court, as well as before this court, that the defendant also failed the performance prong of the test. And in the reply brief, the defendant is unable to state that the district court improperly found that he was not prejudiced, or that he had failed, or that he had met the performance prong of the test. Having failed both prongs of Strickland, the defendant's motion is properly denied by this district court, and we would ask that this court would affirm that decision. I'm prepared to answer any questions that the court may have. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Stay free. All right. Well, thanks to both of you, and the case will be taken under advisement. Now, you were appointed, were you not? You have the profound thanks of the court for taking the case and for arguing very forcefully on behalf of your client. Thank you so much.